We're going to read today from St. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And the Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs and priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report him to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and they saw the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their own country by another route. The Lord will bless the reading of his holy word.
Please have a seat. Great to sing that carol. It's not such a well-sung carol. So hark the herald and O come all ye faithful, yet all the limelight. It's great to sing We Three Kings. I wonder what you're scared of. I wonder what you're scared of. Monsters? Do you? Did you ever check under the bed for strange creatures under there before you get into it? The dark? Have you ever woken up in the dead of night and had to turn on the landing light just to get to sleep and feel safe? Exams? Do you ever have recurring dreams? I do. Of an exam coming, and you haven't done any work all year, and you know you're going to flunk it. In fact, last night I had another recurring dream about a sermon I had to preach, and no preparation. It was getting closer and closer. What are you scared of? Monsters? The dark? Exams? Sermons? Babies? Anyone here scared of a baby? Now, there are some good reasons to be scared of a baby, of course. They cry a lot. They can be violently sick without any warning. But really, no one should be scared of a baby, because they can't really do you any harm. But our passage this morning that Mavis read to us has someone in it who was scared of a baby. Very scared, in fact. We've been reading about the three kings. Sometimes we call them wise men. Sometimes we call them magi. We just sang We Three Kings. The three kings, they weren't scared of a baby. They were searching for one. They say, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." The three kings were looking for a baby who'd been born. But there was another king in our passage this morning, the fourth king, King Herod. And when the three kings come to him and say, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews?" we read that King Herod, when he heard this, was disturbed, troubled. The three kings had come to worship, but this fourth king was worried, very worried. He was scared of a baby. And why? Because the three kings had said that this baby had been born to be King of the Jews. But King Herod was King of the Jews. He was the king. And he liked being king of the Jews. It gave him lots of power and privilege. In fact, he abused his power and his privilege to his own ends, like many rulers have done down the centuries. King Herod was not a good king, but he liked being king. And so he's scared, very scared of the news of a baby born to be king, a rival, a threat to his power and his position. So King Herod decides to find out more, and so he asks his chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they talk about an ancient prophecy in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, which talks about God's promised ruler born in Bethlehem, who will be a good king, who will lead God's people as they need to be led, who will care for them, who will protect them. And this is revolutionary talk. This baby is a revolution waiting to happen. He's come to take King Herod's place. So King Herod wants to take him out. He wants to kill him while he's still little. In fact, he's so scared of this baby that in the next passage, we didn't read it, it's a horrific passage, he orders his soldiers to kill all the boys under 2 years of age around Bethlehem. Now, there's no doubt that all babies, and Mavis shared the news of a baby about to be born in her family, all babies are tiny revolutions waiting to happen. I've had four of them, or Ellen has had four of them, and each one has turned our nice, peaceful lives upside down. Sometimes the rectory feels more like a war zone than anything else, and who's really in charge is the question. When my children were much smaller, when they were babies, I used to, when you've got to catch them, to hold them down and change their nappies, there's a little song I used to sing. I'm not going to sing it to you, it went, "I'm bigger and stronger and older and wiser, you'll never get past me." And I can't remember how the rest of it goes, but you get the point. But it's not as true now as they've grown up as it was then. And some of you are parents of hulking great adults. It's a gradual takeover. Babies are very... Ian Norman's nodding a lot, I don't know why. Babies are very dangerous things. The birth of Jesus Christ into the world 2,000 years ago was the beginnings of a revolution. God's king coming to take his place. A different kind of king, very different from King Herod and all the kings who'd come before him, a king who'd come to serve and to suffer and to die for his people, a humble king, a loving king who would, as the prophet Micah had said, who would shepherd his flock. And this was and is excellent news, good news. This is the kind of king that we and the world needs. But not everyone was willing to accept this. While the wise men worshipped, King Herod was worried. He knew it meant things would have to change. And the revolution that this baby began has continued down the years. And it's turned the world upside down. It's turned countless lives upside down. And it comes to us and our lives today. Are we ready for it? Will we welcome it? Or are we scared of it? It's very possible to feel like that, even if you've been a Christian for many years, because still the question keeps coming, who's really in charge? Because while the prospect of Jesus Christ's loving rule should fill us with joy and bring us hope, often it fills people with fear, because we like to be the ones in charge, kings of our own little kingdoms. I'm in charge, and so Jesus is a threat to my established order. It's hard to give him the throne of my life, or to use another image, to put him in the driving seat. But if you can get beyond the fear, it's very good news. We like to be in control and in charge, but if the last few years have shown us anything, it's that we're not. And our sense of control is an illusion. And there are forces and circumstances in this world that make us realize how very small we really are. A pandemic out of the blue. A phone call from the doctor with some test results, a blip in the markets, whatever. And suddenly we need someone who is greater than all this, who can shepherd us. Just like the prophet Micah said he would do, who can shepherd us, who can lead us. He will shepherd his people. The wise thing to do is to worship. Like the wise men, they were wise, they were wealthy, we call them kings. They knelt in recognition of someone greater than they. They handed over the best of what they had. The Christmas story can sometimes seem like a charming old picture, a nativity scene on a Christmas card, or a nativity that maybe you have in your house, and we get it down once a year and we dust it off. And then a week or so later, we pack it up and we put it back up there to ignore for the rest of the year. But if you look at the picture closely, you'll see that it's anything but harmless. It's revolutionary. Many of us will have read The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, or maybe you saw the film over Christmas from the Chronicles of Narnia. And if you remember, at the beginning of the film, there are two children, Edmund and Lucy, and they're intrigued by a picture of an old ship and the world within which it sails. And one day, as they look closely at it, they literally enter into the world, into the picture frame, and they're suddenly soaked by the waves and deafened by the noise of the creaking timbers, and they're drawn right into the action of the Narnia saga, good versus evil, and all that they're called to do and be challenged. If you remember, they have a cousin as well, Eustace Scrubs, and he wants nothing to do with it. He taunts them with a poem. He says, "Some kids who played games about Narnia got gradually balmier and balmier." Christianity isn't just a charming old picture to hang on the wall and just look at occasionally. The Christmas story invites us in to participate in a revolution that will turn our lives upside down, that will challenge us deeply, that will threaten our beliefs and our behaviors, that will set us on a completely different course in our lives. It is not tame. It is live action in the moment, costly action. And sadly, for many, it is too costly, too threatening. And so people reject it, or, which is just as worse, sanitize it, turn it into just a harmless picture. But each Christmas, every epiphany, every time we open up the Bible, or we try to pray, every time we seek to live out our faith out there, all that comes our way, we are invited to enter into the story, the reality, and to open ourselves up to a revolution in our lives. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, again, as you led the wise men from afar to kneel in worship, to offer their gifts, so we pray that you would help us to draw near in worship, not now, not just now, but as we go out into the world in the year ahead. Help us to open up the best of our gifts and offer you the throne of our lives. And so we pray that we might know your good, gentle rule, your shepherding. So lead us, we pray, in your name. Amen.